Good day, brothers and sisters, and welcome to the CMI School of Christ. And we're going to continue with our class called Ministry in the Appearing of Christ. And I know that I haven't had my class for a couple of weeks now. We've been on our Christmas holidays. And also, I did just want to make mention, because I had mentioned it in the classes, in some previous classes. And I'll say it this way. My mother put off her tabernacle. Her earthly tabernacle. She laid her earthly tabernacle aside. I say that because she was born again. She did believe in the Lord. She did believe in Christ as her Savior. And we'll be looking at some verses actually in John 11. Ironically, I guess you could say it, concerning Jesus, how he's speaking of himself being the resurrection and the life. But anyway, I do say that nothing has changed for her. In fact, nothing changes for anyone who is born again. And I will say this, and using our diagram, the moment anyone is born again, the moment anyone receives Christ, anyone receives life, they have immediately, instantly entered into eternity. Why? Because eternity, Christ himself, has entered into the soul. Okay? And we're going to be looking at a little bit of that in this class. I've got a lot of things on my heart concerning the Lord versus things. And once again, this is our class, Ministry in the Appearing of Christ versus just the ministry of man. And we'll get into that also. But having said that, concerning my mom, I would ask that you continue to keep my family in prayer and stuff, that our eyes would stay turned unto the Lord, that our hearts would stay turned unto the Lord. And I would really appreciate that. And that's my prayer for myself. That's my prayer for my family. That's my prayer for the family of God, my family. That's my prayer for the world. That is my prayer, period. That our hearts would turn unto the Lord. And I've said this statement before several times, and I'll just say it again. Everything is as it should be when our hearts are turned toward the Lord, to the Lord. All is as it should be when our hearts are turned toward the Lord, to the Lord. Okay? I know that people can have doctrinal issues, doctrinal debates. Hey, we all do, right? But none of those, I think I did cover this in a class, none of those debates get us anywhere. In fact, in all the debates and all our doctrinal issues, we all lose. We all, listen, come short of the glory of God found only in the face of Jesus Christ. My heart's desire is for my heart to turn to the Lord. My heart's desire for all the rest, for all, period. Those who are in the house, those who would come into the house, those who are not in the house, that they would come into the house, is that the heart would turn to the Lord. Across, like a blanket statement, across the board for all. So, having said that, we'll go ahead and just continue with our class, Ministry in the Appearing of Christ. And as I read some of these verses when I start out, excuse me, they may not seem all that, how shall I say it, all that directly related to our class, Ministry in the Appearing of Christ, but they actually are, okay? And I'll just start with John chapter 3, verses 35 through 36. And I think this is John the Baptist speaking of Jesus. The Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things into his hand. Verse 36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. Period. Right here with our diagram. He that believeth, remember, if you're not born again, the one who's not born again, they have no life. Why? Because Christ isn't present. Yes, I know that they move around in the natural body. I know that they breathe. I know all these things. Okay? But there's something greater than what we can actually see and know with our natural eye and our natural mind. That is Christ. There is actually something greater than this temporal realm. It is the new creation found in Christ Jesus. Okay? So here we go. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Okay? The wrath of God abides on this man, the Adamic man. That's where it is. The wrath of God abides on him, continues abiding on him, and is still abiding on him. Okay? The wrath of God does not abide upon his Son. No, there's grace and mercy upon the Son. All right? So, I guess looking back at our previous class, the beginning, the end from the beginning, declaring the end from the beginning, knowing the beginning and the end, okay? Here we go with our diagram once again. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. Boom, instantly. He that believes. And it's not believing like, oh yes, I believe there is a God, or yes, I believe in Jesus. No, no. It's believing in the Son. Believing, I'll put it this way, unto salvation. Believing. All right? It's not a mental assent, an actual work of the Spirit. A miracle of the Spirit has happened in the soul. New birth, okay? He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. Everlasting life. Hath. Not will have someday, but hath right now. Hath everlasting life, okay? This is the beginning. All right? The beginning hath come into the house through the door. The door of the house, okay? And he that believeth not the Son, here we go, shall not see life. There's a purpose for believing in the Son. Here we go. The purpose, once again, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. The beginning. But there's a purpose for coming into the house. There's a purpose for walking through the door, coming through the door, coming into the door, into the house. There is a purpose for having everlasting life. There is a purpose for the beginning. That is the end, the goal, the end goal. The point set forth as the goal. Okay? The purpose. See life, okay? And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but he that does believe shall see life. But he that doth believe shall see the life he has received, shall see this eternal life, shall see this life eternal, shall see this everlasting life, shall see this Christ. See, that's the purpose. Every ministry that comes short of declaring that purpose, beholding Christ, the heart turning to the Lord, the veil being removed, and with an unveiled face, beholding the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Every ministry that comes short of that goal, of that end, is the ministry of man. It's not the ministry of God. Listen, the ministry of God is unto glory. Glory is only found in the face of Jesus Christ. That's 2 Corinthians 4:6. By now you should have the verse memorized just as I do. As God commanded the light to shine in a dark place, so hath He shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Nowhere else. Okay? So the beginning and the end. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. Everlasting life does not, everlasting life, eternal life does not begin when we put off our tabernacle, when we lay aside our earthly tent. No, no, no. That's not when it begins. Everlasting life, eternal life, begins the moment Christ appears in the soul. Why? Because Christ is life eternal. Christ is eternal life. The moment Christ appears in the soul, eternal life appears in the soul. And based on, because of eternal life being in the soul, now the soul is found in with our diagram, the abiding diagram, I and you and me, because of eternal life now being found in the soul, because Christ is found in the soul, and Christ is that life, then the soul is now found in eternal life. The soul is now found in eternity, in Christ. See, eternity is not a long amount of time. Eternity is outside of time. Eternity is Christ. Christ is the eternal. Everything else is temporal, timeline. Okay? All right. So that's that verse. But I love it the way it shows it there. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. There's the beginning. And the end shall see life. A goal for having life is seeing the life. And that's where the majority of us come short of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We're either told something else, or we believe something else, or we have our own concepts, or our own ideas, our own whatever you want to call it. But the goal, the purpose, is seeing the eternal life, seeing Christ Himself. Okay, this is John chapter 5, verse 24 through 26. Going on a little bit more. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. There we go. This everlasting life, you can look it up. It's Strong's number 166. I encourage you, look it up either in the Thayer's or look it up in the Strong's Concordance. It basically means this: without beginning and without end. Eternal. Okay? Now, Jesus says, I am the beginning and the end. All right? I'm the beginning. For those beginning, He is the beginning. All right? He is also the end for those that have begun the goal. I don't know if I said that right. Jesus says, I'm the beginning and the end. If you're not born again, you have not begun. If you are born again, you have begun. Why? Because the beginning hath appeared in your soul. Christ has appeared in your soul. Now you must know the end, the goal. Christ, the purpose. Christ, seeing Him. Okay, now this life is without beginning and end. This is eternal life. See, God didn't appear at some moment of time. No, He was, is, and ever shall be. We are the ones who were either born in the flesh, had a beginning in the flesh, or who were born of the Spirit, born again, had a beginning in the Spirit. At that moment, we entered into eternity. We entered into Christ. No beginning, no end. Eternal. All right? And forgive me if that may seem a bit confusing concerning the beginning and the end. Let's go on a little bit more. He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed. I love this. Once again, this is John chapter 5, 24 through 26. He that heareth my word, the one who's not born again, heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life. He hath entered into life. Okay, it goes on. And shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Why? Because Christ is life. Where Christ is present, life is present. Where Christ is not present, death is present. So you can have a believer who puts off their earthly tent. Death is not present. Life is present because their life at some point was Christ, continues to be Christ, and ever shall be Christ. We'll look at that a little later on in some of our notes. All right. but is passed from death unto life immediately at that moment they believe. In the moment they're born again, they are passed from death unto life. Verse 25, verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is, and we've looked at this verse with our diagram before, when the dead, here we go, those dead who do not have life, now time, I'm speaking timeline here, those after the crucifixion, after the cross is made manifest on the earthly timeline, okay? That would be all humanity that's not born again that you can see with your natural eye. All right? And now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Not only is it speaking of the humanity that is not born again that you see with your natural eye, he was actually also speaking of, and we're going to see this in another verse a little later on, he was also actually speaking, because Jesus at that point hadn't been crucified, okay? He was speaking of all the dead who had no life, who were in a state of death, a condition of death that entered in at the garden. They ate of the tree of death. They had no life because they never ate of the tree of life. They ate of the tree of death. What's the comparison? If it's not life, it's death. Call it whatever you want. It's death. In comparison to life, it is death, okay? I know they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, but they ate of the tree of death. So they're in this state of death. Jesus is declaring the time, and now is pretty much upon you, when he would be crucified, he would bring that state of death to death. He would bury that state of death, never to be seen again, and only he would come forth out of the resurrection, as the resurrection. Only he would come forth out of the grave, there is, as the resurrection. And then therefore those who are dead, who are brought to death and buried, who hear his voice, they shall live. All these, see, we'll look at it in a verse coming up. I don't want to go into it right now, but just hold that thought. All right. Well, I may touch on it. Before the crucifixion, there were those who were in expectation of the Messiah. They were in expectation of life. You can read it in Hebrews, and we'll probably go over the verse in a later class. But it talked about those refusing to be raised again, that they may attain unto the better resurrection. All right? Those pre-cross, before the cross, who, you know, Adam, the Adamic man, the Adamic creation, all those in Adam die. They were those that were in Adam that were in expectation of the Messiah coming. You could, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the patriarchs, David, Jeremiah, and all the others who are not named, who had that expectation birthed in their heart of God, a godly expectation. They too were in expectation of the Messiah. But they died before Jesus came in the flesh. So what of them? He still brought that whole creation, that whole Adamic man, unto death. The death of death. The death of that state. The death of that condition. Why? So that now life, once again, can be offered. They still don't have life, but the condition of death is brought to death. Has come to its end. No more that condition. Now, they are in their graves awaiting. And to them that hear my voice shall live. I think we read it in a previous class when it talked about when Jesus was crucified, it said that there was an earthquake and the veil of the temple was rent in two and the bodies of the saints of old came into Jerusalem. There you go. They came forth after his resurrection. They were in expectation of him, of life, of Christ. And they came forth after his, not their, his resurrection. Okay? All right. Now, we're going to jump to our next chapter, John chapter. Actually, I think all these verses are out of John. Yep, they sure are. And the epistles of John as well. All right, this is John chapter 6. Now, we're going to start with verse 22. And it's the passage we're looking at is verse 22 through 29. But I will say this, the whole context before that starts in verse 1 through 14. It's the feeding of the 5,000. Okay? And I'll just go ahead and read a little bit. The day following, when the people which stood on the other side of the sea saw that there was none other boat there, save that one whereinto his disciples were entered, and that Jesus went not with his disciples into the boat, but that his disciples were gone away alone. Verse 23, howbeit, there came other boats from Tiberias nigh unto the place where they did eat bread. All right. After that, the Lord had given thanks. All right. They're talking about what happened after where they ate the bread, where the feeding of the 5,000 happened. Now, verse 24. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took shipping and came to Capernaum, seeking for Jesus. Jesus is going to go on and define the reason why they're seeking him. But they are seeking. Listen to this. Here's man. They're in a situation. They have nothing to eat. They're following Jesus. Okay, I did the quote unquote. Okay, they're following Jesus. They're seeking him. And you say, oh, how glorious that is. They're seeking Jesus. They're seeking. See, everyone seeks the Lord for something. You either seek the Lord for a thing, for some thing, T-I-T-H-I-N-G, or you seek the Lord for him. They were seeking for Jesus for the earth. For the earth. Verse 25, and when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when comest thou hither? Verse 26, Jesus answered them and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me. See, this is why you're seeking me. This is why you're following after me. You seek me not because you saw the miracles. Okay. I either heard it or read it. T. Austin Sparks mentioned something about John, the disciple John, who wrote the Gospel of John. He said something to this effect. He said, John used the term signs because they were pointing to something, something greater. And I actually didn't look at that Strong's number for the term miracles. Forgive me for that. But you can check it out and see it. But they always pointed to something greater, right? The things Jesus did were declaring something greater. They were declaring himself. We'll see it in a little bit. Okay? With the goal that they would see the sign, that they would understand the sign and say, this speaks of a greater. Let us come to the greater. Remember, in Exodus, when they're in Egypt and the Lord tells Moses, hey, tell the children of Israel, take a lamb, a sign. Signs and wonders, there you go, the lamb. But they were to see that lamb and say, hey, this little animal is speaking of something greater. Let us look unto the greater. Let us look unto Jesus. Okay? They didn't do that here. You seek me, not because you saw the miracles. The term ye saw is Strong's number 1492. It's basically, properly, to see literally or figuratively by implication, in the perfect only to know. Not because ye saw, you understood, you knew the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. Here's Jesus. He does a miracle. He feeds 5,000. It says men, so who knows about the women and children. He feeds 5,000. Okay? Does a miracle. Blesses the bread. Feeds 5,000. That's declaring something greater. Right? I'm the bread of life. Feed all that come to me with myself. They did not see that. All they saw was what their natural eyes could see. All they understood was what their natural mind could understand from what they saw with their natural eyes. They saw him for that which is temporal. Excuse me. They sought him for that which is temporal, passing away. That's all they knew. Does it remind you of anyone? Children of Israel in the wilderness, they are in type in resurrection, and yet here they are, ignorant and blind to the Lord. And all they see is that which the Lord hath put away. All they want is that which the Lord hath put away. Temple. When the greater is standing right there. It goes on. I love this. But because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. And if you're filled in the... I don't want to say it in the flesh. I'll use this term. If you're filled in the natural one day, you'll be hungry another day. I mean, I know you're thinking of the verse that I'm thinking of. And I will give water, and this water will be a well springing up unto everlasting life. You know, you come to this well and drink, and you will thirst again. The water I give you shall never thirst again. The eternal Christ himself. And yet, we are so caught up with the temporal, which has a beginning and an end. If you're filled with the natural right now, and you're full, there'll come a point in time when you're hungry again. All right. Verse 27. Labor not for the meat which perisheth. Don't work. Don't labor for that which is passing. Okay? For that which is passing. But for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed. Okay? And basically, don't labor for the temporal realm, for the things of the temporal, what can be had, what can be found in the temporal. Labor for that which is eternal. Look, set your... using the diagram in Colossians 3:1. Set not your heart, or 3:1-4, something like that. Set not your heart on that which is temporal, which is passing. According to that, you're dead. Christ is your life. Set your heart, set your affection on that which is above, where Christ is. And from here, from whence we look. Don't you love that? From whence we look for the appearing of the Lord, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Don't strive, don't labor for these things. I've got to read the rest of the passage because it'll make more sense if I just go ahead and read it and then make the comments. Okay. Labor not for the miracles, for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath the Father sealed. Verse 28. Then they said unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. Excuse me. Here's the situation. 5,000 were fed. And the majority saw, oh, this is a great ministry. Feeding naturally the multitudes. I want to be a part of this ministry. This is great work of God. And the whole time, Jesus saying, no, 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 there's something greater than this. This is a sign. Right? This is a miracle, but it's pointing to something greater. It's pointing to something greater. I am the bread of life. They did not see. They could not see the greater. Why? Because their hearts were turned to their own face, the face of humanity. Okay. You seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat the loaves and were filled. You loved that. You loved the natural realm. And please understand, I am not downing or criticizing ministries whatsoever. There is the ministry of God, and then there is the ministry of man. with our diagram once again. There's the ministry of God, that which is above, eternal. I will say it this way, the eternal ministry. And then there is the ministry of man, temporal ministry. You can minister to the multitudes with the natural, which is fine, as long as there is a greater goal, greater purpose in view, and you direct their hearts unto that, the scene of Christ. If not, then you and your ministry have led the rest short of the glory of God, found only in the face of Jesus Christ. It's very simple. It's very simple. If you're not pointing them to the face of Christ, you're pointing them to the face of humanity. The face of humanity is condemnation, is death, is darkness, is not enduring, is not joyous, and the list goes on and on and on. But how beautiful John the Baptist. And John, looking upon Jesus, saith, "Behold the Lamb of God." That's the ministry of God. That is the eternal ministry. That's what it is, the eternal ministry, found only in the face of Jesus Christ. All right. So they weren't at all desiring his face. They wanted to feed their own face. All right, there you go. Labor not for that which meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed. Then said they unto him, "What shall we do that we might work the works of God?" What shall we do then? They saw what Jesus was doing, and they said, "Yes, that's the work of God." Right? Keeping this one, looking unto this man, that which the Lord hath put away, right? With our diagram. Keeping the one who is blind to life. Now, I know that at that time they weren't born again, but it's just, I'm using this as an example. Or here, they were here, right? They had no life at the time. Keeping them occupied, right? A band-aid over their hearts. A band-aid keeping them occupied in the temporal. They are looking at Jesus and saying, "This is the work of God. This is the ministry of God. I want to be a part of that." So then they ask him, "What shall we do that we might work the works of God?" See, they see what Jesus is doing externally, temporally, in the temporal realm, as the works of God. It's not so. That's not so. So Jesus comes back and presents to them the work of God. You want something to do? Here it is. Jesus answered and said unto them, "This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent." Well, believing, that's not ministry. That's not working the work of God. That's not the work of God. That's not the labor of the Lord. See, we always want something to do. No, brother, sister, the only thing you have to do is turn your heart to the Lord. But how shall you turn your heart to the Lord except you believe? Okay? How shall they hear except... I know I've shared the verse in a previous class. I think it's in Romans, and I'm not going to try to find it because I haven't thought about the verse in a long time. How shall they believe except they hear? How shall they hear except someone preach unto them? How shall someone preach unto them except one be sent? And how shall one be sent except one hath seen the face of God? Except God hath appeared unto them. God only sends those in whom he appears, in whom he is revealed. Okay? Then said they unto him, "What shall we do that we might work the works of God?" No, you're not going to, this is like saying, this is not the work of God. The work of God is believing, and in believing, seeing the beginning and the end. The beginning and the end. Coming into the house, Our very first verse. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And the purpose of having everlasting life is to see the life. I think I wrote it down, maybe not, in John. Yeah, John 3:3. Or in John, the same thing. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom. Christ is the kingdom. Purpose. Except a man be born again, the beginning, he cannot see the end, the kingdom, Christ. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, the beginning, and shall see, is purposed to see the life, the end, the purpose of the house. All right. So he says, this is the work of God, that ye believe. The term work is Strong's number 2041. It's business, the employment, that which one is occupied. Okay, we want to be occupied with the feeding of the multitude. We want to be occupied with the temporal realm of that which is passing. We want to be occupied, God says. Jesus tells him, that's not the occupation of God. That is not the employment. That's not the business of God. Ye believe. Strong's number 4100. To have faith in. To have faith in Christ. To believe. Have faith in Christ. And faith is seeing. I won't go into that in this class. I think I've covered it in previous classes. But faith is seeing. Okay. What was going on? Oh, there it is. What shall we do? That term, we. Shall we do? Strong's number 4160. It's basically be the author of. What shall we be the author of? The Lord's like, no, I don't want you to be the author of anything. I am the author of all things. Right? Okay. That whole little passage right there, I guess you could look at it from, we're still in John chapter 6, from verse 28 to 29 is basically the situation with the multitude there. They're all, it's all according to the natural eyes, an unrighteous judgment. All their conversation, all that they're doing, all that they're thinking and saying is coming out of a judgment based on their natural eyes. And it is an unrighteous judgment. Seeing with a natural eye is an unrighteous judgment. Okay? They want to do something according to what they see naturally. They want to do what they're seeing naturally. Hey, think about this. What would Jesus do? Right? I've said this so many times. We read the Gospels and we see the things Jesus did and we say, that's the ministry of God. I want to do what Jesus was doing. I want to pray for the sick. I want to do this miracle here. I want to do this over there. I want to do this over there. That's not the ministry of God. That's things that are passing. We're going to see that in just a little bit. When we get to it, it's what it is. It's the whole situation here is the natural versus the spiritual. Now, watch this with our diagram. The natural mind governing, right? That has the veil versus the mind of the Spirit, the mind of Christ, which has no veil governing. The temporal versus the eternal. The temporal, seeing that which the Lord hath put away, seeing that which is temporal, versus the eternal, him who remains, Christ himself. Seeing the face of humanity versus seeing the face of Christ. Or seeing your own face versus seeing the face of Christ. All right? That was the whole situation right there. They saw the miracle. They saw the sign Jesus did. They said, I want more. That's why they came to Jesus. They wanted something temporal. He himself is the greater. And they completely miss the greater. And then they go on to say, I know what you've been doing. You've been doing the ministry of God, the works of God. I want to do them too. And Jesus says, that's not the ministry of God. That's temporal. How about you just believe on him whom he hath sent? And in believing, now turn your heart that you may see the eternal life that is present. Christ himself. Okay. We're going to look at another passage. This passage is out of John chapter 11. And it's the resurrection and the life. Okay. I'll start with verse 3 through 6. Just that little passage. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. Lazarus. Verse 4. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness, this condition, is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. I'll go ahead and say this. See, in all these signs, all these things that Jesus did, these miracles, these signs, as John calls them, were for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified. Right? For the glory of God, found only in the face of Jesus Christ, that they may come unto me. I know you believe you have eternal life in the Scriptures. I mean, you search the Scriptures, in the Scriptures you think you have eternal life, but they are they that testify of me, and you will not come unto me. I am the life. That's what Jesus said. Okay, it's the same situation here. For the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified thereby. Okay? I've heard it said, and I'll just go ahead and make mention of it now. I've got it a little further down in my notes. But I've heard it said that Lazarus right there, Jesus is using Lazarus as an example of Old Covenant Israel, who were in expectation of the coming of the Messiah, of the coming of life. They were in expectation, okay? They were dead, they had no life, but they were in expectation of the Messiah. With the Messiah comes everything, comes the kingdom, comes the resurrection, comes the life, okay? The thing is, they missed it when Jesus shows up and says, I am. Because they were looking for things, but the things in the Old Covenant, the Old Testament, were declaring a person, Christ. And that's where the majority of us, sadly to say, nowadays, we miss it as well. We're looking for things, and we miss the person, Christ himself. Going on with the verse. Excuse me. This sickness is not unto death. This situation, see, this situation right here is not unto death. Okay? This situation is not unto death. The death of death is not unto death. And I'll go ahead and explain it as we go on with our verses. All right. Now, a little further down, I'm going to pick up with verse 21. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Okay? Not only Martha, but Mary as well. They're caught up with the temporal. The temporal, okay? Lord, if you had been here, my brother hadn't died. My brother hadn't died. He wouldn't have had to come to death. He wouldn't have to come to an end, okay? But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it unto thee. Verse 23, Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Verse 24, here is her doctrine. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. I know that in the event shall rise again. All right, verse 25. Jesus saith unto her, I am. Don't you love that? I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth, there we go, the term believeth again. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Why? Whosoever believes hath passed from death unto life. That life being Christ, because Christ hath appeared in the soul. Okay? The verse goes on. I'm using our diagram here. Though he were dead, yet shall he live. Verse 26. And whoever liveth among the living, those who are born again, those who have believed, and whomsoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Why? Because Christ having died once, dieth no more. Christ is their life, the born-again believer. Remember I told you we'd get to this later on? I told you a little bit in the beginning of the class. Christ is life. Where Christ is present, life is present. Where life is present, there is no end to that life that is present, because there is no end to Christ. Yes, He is the goal. Seeing His face, the light appearing, is the goal. But He hath no end. All right. Then he goes on to say, do you believe this? She saith unto him, Lord, yeah, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. She had no clue of what Jesus was talking about. The majority of Christendom, we have no clue what Jesus is talking about. Right? There it is with the diagram. I showed it. He that believeth in me, though he were, past tense, dead, yet shall he live. Same being born again, because life hath appeared in the soul now, and whosoever liveth by Christ and believeth in me, believeth unto seeing, right, shall see the life, shall never die, because Christ is their life. Okay. Skipping on a little further, let me just make a comment real quick. Once again, Lazarus is an example. He's a type of the Old Covenant Israel. And also, all those who would hear his voice and live. Right? See, that's the thing. All humanity was in a state of death. Old Covenant Israel was in that state as well. The only difference with the majority of them is that Old Covenant Israel had an expectation for the Messiah. The majority did not. But it's still there. Whosoever shall hear my voice, the dead that hear my voice, shall live. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. Okay? And he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. The time is coming and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. All right. Our next passage going on in John chapter 11 is 32 through 45. All right. Now, we looked at Martha. Yeah. We looked at Martha, that said, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Now, verse 32. Then when Mary was come to where Jesus was, she saw him. She fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. I'll keep on reading. And when Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. Why? Because they're caught up in a temporal situation and they want something for the temporal situation. Like the 5,000 before, they were caught up in a temporal situation and wanted to stay there. Wanted that situation remedied and wanted to be a part of the remedy for that temporal situation. Remember, what must we do to do the works of God? All right. But he's groaned, he's troubled. Why? Because life is present and they see not the life. They understand not the life. Verse 34. And said, where have you laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Verse 35. Jesus wept. And I don't know why he wept. It's just spoken there. We can all give our own thoughts. My thought is that here is life himself. He has something greater to offer than just something for the temporal situation. And they have no clue. Jesus comes and he says, I am come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. I am come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. The seeing of the life. And they're so caught up with the temporal situation. Remember, the purpose of the soul, the appearing of Christ. And they're so caught up with a lesser purpose. I am come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. And they want something temporal. They're so caught up with the temporal. Okay. And it could be anything. It could be anything of the temporal. Anything that would seduce your eyes to that which is temporal. Anything that would bewitch you. Anything that would fascinate you. To what? To simply get your heart, your attention off from turning unto the Lord. And beholding His face. Anything that would cause you to behold your own face or the face of humanity. Okay? It goes on. Verse 36. Then said the Jews, behold how he loved him. That's what the Jews thought from Jesus' weeping. Behold how he loved him. And some of them said, could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? The condition of the old must come to an end. Remember, I said that it was both that Lazarus, Jesus is using Lazarus and as an example of both the old covenant Israel and of humanity, Adam in general. No, don't let this one come to death, Jesus. Don't let this one come to death. No. Fix this one. Help this one. This one had no life. See, it was in a state of death. He had no life. Yeah, he moved around and everything. He had no life because Christ was not in him. But see, the Lord brought that state of death unto death. That's why he stayed the two more days. Oh, he's sick. I'll stay here. It must come to death. That state must come to death. That state must be buried. And I then can be the life of that soul now. Not of that state. No, because that state came to death. Now the soul is able to receive life. Perfect picture of the cross, the death, burial, resurrection. Perfect picture. Mankind, humanity in a state of death. In a condition of death where they cannot receive life. That's what the Lord said in the garden. Remember, we looked at this in a previous class. Put a cherub, seraphim's angel with a drawn sword, lest he eat of the tree of life. In this state, God said, no, this state can't continue. We'll bring this state, this condition, unto an end. We'll bring it to its end. We'll bring it unto death. Having brought it unto death, we'll bury it, get it out of the way. Now, the soul, for whosoever will, can receive life. Now, they that hear the voice of God shall live. Now, they that believe are passed from death unto life. It's beautiful. This man should not have died. They're all still concerned. No, it's a picture of the cross. It's a picture, it's an example of the cross, the death, burial, resurrection of Christ. Okay? It goes on, verse 38. Jesus, therefore, again, groaning in himself. The greater is there, and they know him not. And they knew him not. All right. Cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus saith, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time... Excuse me. By this time, he stinketh. That is the condition of humanity apart from Christ. That is the condition of humanity that hath no life, that hath not Christ, that is not born again. He stinketh. But Christ himself is a beautiful fragrance unto the Father, unto God. For he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldst believe, thou shouldst see the glory of God? I love it. The glory of God. All the ministry of God, the ministry of God, is unto the glory of God. If thou wouldst believe, you should see the glory of God. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice. Here we go. The dead that hear my voice. Lazarus, come forth. Verse 44. And he that was dead came forth. It's all a picture of the cross. It's all a picture of a soul coming to the beginning. All right? And I'm using our diagram. If you're listening to this audio, download the diagram also, or check out the video. This is really important, the diagram during this class right now. He that was dead came forth. Now listen what it says after that. Bound hand and foot. He was bound with grave clothes. Something covering him that was not of life. Something covering him that was of the grave. Of death. And his face was bound with a napkin. Perfect picture of one being born again. Blind. And what then? Jesus saith unto them, unto all who were there, loose him and let him go. See, that's the ministry of God. That is the eternal ministry. It is unto glory. Loose him. With our diagram. Loose him from all. From all of that has the stink of death. From all that has the remembrance of that which the Lord hath put away in the cross. Loose him. How? Looking unto Jesus, saith, behold the Lamb of God. That the heart turn to the Lord, the veil is removed. The veil of ignorance. You're not dead anymore, guy. You're alive. Take that clothes off. That's dead man's clothes. That's not your garment. You have a new garment. You're clothed upon with Christ. Not clothed upon with death and condemnation. But how shall we know? Except we see the life we have received. It's all the same. Except we see the life we have received. Those who are born again. The indwelling Christ. Except the light of life appears in our hearts and our souls. Verse 45. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did, believed on him. There it is. That's the goal. Believe. And in believing, seeing, loose him and let him go. Coming into the house and having come into the house and in the house, see the light of the house. The beginning and the end. I love this. The signs are that you may believe and have life. And having that life, listen to this, ye may have it more abundantly. I am come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. The signs, you can check this out. This is John chapter 20, verse 30 through 31. The signs are there that they may believe, that ye may believe. And in believing, have life. And having life, have it more abundantly. The evening and the morning were the first day. The evening and the morning were the first day. And walk in the day. Walk in the land of the living. The light of the living. This is the ministry of God. This is the ministry of Christ. This is the eternal ministry. It's always unto glory. Glory exclusively found and only found in the face of Jesus Christ. I love that. That whole passage. So caught up with the temporal, and Jesus is showing them the greater, the eternal. See, that doesn't mean that that discount all miracles, signs, and wonders in Rome. Hey, you know, let the Lord do a miracle through you. Praise God. But don't leave the recipient or those around seeing, witnessing, don't leave them short of the purpose of the goal of God. Don't leave them, don't let them come short in what has just been performed. Don't let them come short of the glory of God found in the face of Jesus Christ. But in that, declare, this is that the Son of God may be glorified. This is for the glory of God. And the glory of God is only found in the face of Jesus Christ. So you witness this that ye may believe. That ye may believe and have life. And in having life, have it more abundantly. You see this that is done? Now, turn your heart unto the Lord. For the greater. For the greater. Christ Himself. The appearing of Christ in the soul. This is 1 John chapter 5, verse 10 through 13. He that believeth, term believe, 4100 again, on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record that God gave, hath given, excuse me, and this is the record that God hath given eternal life, there we go, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son, hath the Son, hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that ye believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know, I love that, that ye may know, that ye may see. I'll go ahead and read it. It's John 3:3. It's the same term. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Same exact Strong's number 1492. These things I have written unto you that ye believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know, that ye may see, that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. He's basically saying this, using our diagram. I'm writing this to those who believe, that you may know you have eternal life. That you may know, that you may see. And in seeing, you may believe. Believe based on seeing. There's belief, excuse me. There's believing that is based on hope, having not seen. And then there's believing that is faith, having seen. That ye may believe. So there it is. The eternal ministry. Continually pointing to Christ. Continually declaring something greater than the temporal. Something greater than the natural. Christ, the eternal. The appearing of the eternal. So, with that, I'll end our class. May the Lord, by His Spirit, continue to deal with our hearts, that our hearts would turn unto the Lord. That our hearts, if you're not born again, that your heart would turn unto the Lord, that life would appear. And if you are born again, that your heart would turn unto the Lord, that the light of life would appear. That's the eternal ministry. Hey, loose him. Let him go. Take the grave clothes with our diagram. Take the grave clothes off. Everything that has to do with the grave, that has to do with the remembrance of death, take it off. Take the napkin off his face. Take the veil off his face, that he may see his life face to face. That's what it is. The eternal ministry. So, the Holy Spirit continually deal with our hearts. That simply they would turn and behold the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. I'll see you in our next class. Lord bless.